This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
People on today, and what a blessing it is that we are able to set aside a Sunday each month for our young people to lead us in worship. Amen. Thank you, young people. Thank you, youth workers. Let us stand all over this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege, and Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak a word into our hearts. Oh God, a word that will help us to serve you in the way that you would have us to serve you. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you remain standing, if you will turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 14. Amen. But in your private time, if you will, read verses 11 through 24. But just for your hearing today, we will read verse 14. Amen. And there you will find these words. I'm going to read it from the NIV version. I'm sorry. Let me read it from the King James version. Luke chapter 15 and verse 14. It says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to just talk especially to young fathers this morning, and certainly the older fathers have probably learned these lessons, and hopefully you're teaching your sons and your daughters the lessons that this son had to learn even in the presence of his own father. We know about the prodigal son, amen, and the relationship that he had with his father, and how that journey progressed, and the impact that the lessons he learned had on his life, amen. Luke 15 and 14, again, it says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." Thank you, ushers, amen. All of us long for days without difficulties. All of us pray for periods without pain. We hope for time without trouble and weeks without worry. But the truth of the matter is that usually the easier our lives are, the weaker we become. God knows that in order for us to grow, there has to be some resistance. There have to be some trials. There have to be some tribulations and some trouble in order to bring out the best in us. Years ago in the northeastern United States, codfish was a big commercial business. There was a market for eastern codfish all over the United States, especially on the West Coast, because, you know, they believe in eating healthy. Amen. The demand, however, presented a problem for those who were shipping the codfish from the East Coast to the West Coast, because there was no good way to get the codfish from the East Coast to the West Coast. At first, they froze the fish, shipped it from the East to the West. But they discovered that by freezing the fish, it took away the flavor. It took away something from the fish. And so they experimented with shipping them alive in tanks of seawater. But that proved even worse, because not only was it more expensive, but the fish still lost its flavor and it lost its texture. As a matter of fact, by the time it got to the West Coast, the skin of the fish had become soft and mushy. Finally, some creative person solved the problem. They placed the codfish in a tank of salt water along with their natural enemy, the catfish. From the time that the cod left the East Coast to the time that they arrived on the West Coast, the cantankerous catfish chased the codfish all over the tank. And you know what happened. When the cod arrived at the market on the West Coast, they were as fresh as when they were first caught. There was no loss of texture, no loss of flavor. In fact, they were better than they had ever been. They were firmer and in better shape than when they were first caught. I'm preaching to somebody this morning, you're in the tank. And that is your unique, inescapable circumstance that God has permitted some catfish to be in your tank with you. And you thought that they were there to hurt you, but God brought you here this morning so I could tell you that they are actually helping you grow, They're helping you stay alert. They are helping you stay alive. They're helping you stay fresh. How many of you have prayed the prayer, Lord, deliver me from my enemies? Lord, rescue me from my haters. But is there anybody here this morning who can appreciate the fact that sometimes God allows those haters and those enemies on your job and in your neighborhood and at your school because he's trying to develop you, he's trying to keep you fresh, he's trying to help you to stay alert and alive. Somebody in here ought to thank God for your enemies. You need to know that your existence would have been stale if it had not been for the catfish in your life. Somebody ought to say, Lord, I thank you for my catfish. Thank you for my circumstances. Thank you for the situations, the events, and people that have kept me tense, that have kept me anxious, that have kept me on edge, because all the while you've still been moving in my life. All the while you've still been keeping me alive, and for this, God, I say thank you. I didn't appreciate it while I was going through it, but now as I look back on it, I can see that God was in it after all. Somebody ought to give him a praise this morning. Because if it had not been for the trouble in your life, you would not be as strong, you would not be as smart, you would not be as tough as you are right now. You've been trained by experience. You've been taught by adversity. You've been schooled by fiery pits. You've been instructed by the Holy Ghost. And for this, you ought to be thankful. There's a poem that says, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser with all she had to say. But then I walked a mile with sorrow. Never a word said she. But all the things I learned when she walked a mile with me. And all I'm trying to suggest this morning is that no one gets out of this life without having some seasons of suffering, some moments of misery, and some periods of pain. Do I have a witness this morning? The good news is that God is the God of your mountains, but he's also the God of your valleys. He's the God of your ups. Do I have any witnesses that he's also the God of your downs? Amen. He's in and attentive to all of the seasons of your life. And for this, we ought to be thankful. In our text, this son left home following an illusion. He demanded to receive an inheritance even though his daddy was still alive. He demanded now what would have been his later because he did not have the discipline to wait. I'm talking to young fathers this morning. Amen, amen. I'm talking to men, amen, and to women. I'm talking to everybody. You've got to think about your future, amen. Don't get caught up so caught up in now that you forget about tomorrow. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, heaven holds what will be ours later because we're not mature enough now to handle that kind of blessing. Do I have a witness today? Though probably wounded by his demand, this father, this young man's daddy, gave him his inheritance. His father probably had to liquidate his land and his livestock in order to give this son one-third of his estate. But he handed it over to him because the father understood that nothing he said could have dissuaded this boy from the course that God had ordained for his life. He had to go through what he was going to. I said he had to go through what he was going to. And I think this is a good place to park and say that we need to be careful of what we ask for. Because God knows that sometimes what we ask for, we really are not able to handle. Am I by myself in here this morning? But when we persist, Y'all know we get them ugly prayers going where we're crying and sobbing. Y'all know, amen, we've all prayed those kind of prayers, amen. Somebody said you gotta get ugly to sing for God, and you gotta get ugly to praise God. And there's some witnesses in here that when you really need a breakthrough, every now and then you can't worry about, amen, whether your wig is on straight or crooked. You can't worry about whether your makeup is on straight. Amen. You can't worry about who's looking at you. Every now and then, if you're going to get a breakthrough, you know, you just got to get right down ugly and pray and let God know what you need. And sometimes when we pray like that, God gives us what we want, knowing it ain't what we need. Do I have a witness today? He'll sometimes give it to us, because sometimes the only way to educate us is to let us go through what we're headed to, because we refuse to learn any other way. So sometimes God will let you have the relationship knowing it's going to break your heart. Sometimes God will let you get that house, amen, even though you know, the bank knows, amen, that your credit is jacked up from the floor up, amen. You praying for that thing, and you know, amen, you know you already struggling, but you prayed, and God will let you get the house knowing you don't have the financial discipline to keep it. Sometimes God will let you get the job knowing that you don't have the work ethic to hold on to it. And he'll do that from time to time in order to teach us how to trust and wait on his timing. I need fathers, especially young fathers, I need you to hear me this morning. Amen. Sometimes you'll get big ideas about this, about that. I need young mothers to hear me this morning. Sometimes, amen, you will get impressed by a coworker and that new car that they have, or that new house that they have. You'll look at your neighbor and get excited because of what they have been able to do, and you'll step out and try to do it just because somebody else is doing it. But Pastor Garner has come by this morning to tell you that you need to trust God's timing. You better learn how to get on your knees and say, Lord, now this is what I want. But like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember he prayed, he said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Where am I? Older fathers in here who have learned over time that it's better to wait on God's timing. We want to name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, call it and haul it, tag it and bag it. But God, my brothers and sisters, is more interested in developing us than he is in delighting us. He's more interested in constructing our character than he is in creating our comfort. Because God knows that nothing grows us like a little hurt, a little pain. That's my indictment against some of these modern day parents. You know, I hear too many of them say, well, you know, I'm not going to whip my kids the way my parents whipped me. I'm going to count to them, amen, and give them time out and all of that, you know, amen. But when I look around the room this morning, I know I'm looking at some folk who got some pretty good beatings along the way, and nudge your neighbor and say, I turned out all right, amen, amen, amen. Because just like God, our parents knew that every now and then the thing that would help us to learn quick and in a hurry was a little association with pain every now and then. Now, I'm not saying beat your children. I'm not saying abuse your children. Amen, amen. I'm not going to say nothing. Y'all do it the way you want to do it. But I will say this, amen, it helped me along the way. And it's not just the prodigal son. Let me testify that there have been times in my life where God has loved me enough to let me fail and let me fall. There have been times in my past where I wasn't ready for what I asked for. But because I wasn't willing to wait, God let me have it. And I had to learn the hard way that everything that glitters ain't gold. Am I by myself? I had to learn the hard way, Sister Robinson, that everything shiny ain't silver. I had to learn the hard way, Minister Miller, that everybody smiling in my face ain't my friend. I had to learn that every goodbye doesn't mean they're gone, and what feels good to you ain't necessarily good for you. Am I the only one that had to learn the hard way? God has at times let me fail and fall so that I could get back up again with the determination to wait on him. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. I got some folk in here who know that if you wait on him. The old folk used to say he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there on time. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not get tired. I messed that all up. But if you wait on God, amen, he'll make a way for you. He will open doors for you. If you wait on God, he will make your situation all right. The son in this saga, he left home. He headed for a place that the Bible describes only as a far country. And as long as the money was flowing, he was all right. But when the money was depleted, his friends disappeared. Everything, y'all, was cool, calm, and copacetic until the Bible says a famine arose. And that's where I've been trying to get to. That's when the famine arose, trouble took him someplace. When the famine arose, the famine did him a favor. It focused him, and that would not have happened otherwise. Tell your neighbor, a famine arose. And I want to suggest that sometimes, my brothers and sisters, it is the will of God for us to go through hard times and strenuous situations. Sometimes when your family acts funny, I know y'all families are all together, you know, and everybody loves everybody, and y'all don't ever have arguments. Amen. But for some of us, sometimes, amen, it ain't the other folks. Sometimes it's your family that acts funny. Your friends are fickle. Your finances are fractured. Your future is fuzzy. We don't realize it then, but if you process it right, you'll realize that the famine is doing you a favor, which raises the relevant question, what did the famine do for this prodigal son? And more specifically, what do famines do for us today? Oh, y'all are asking some good questions. Oh, my, oh, my. Number one, say this after me. The famine showed him the reality of consequences. Fathers, hear me today. Young fathers, hear me today. Because, you know, the good news about church is that we like to tell you that God is a God of another chance. And yes, he is. Amen. We all can thank him for that. He's a God of another chance. Amen. He is a forgiving God. Amen. But one thing we have to leave knowing is that even though we're forgiven, sometimes the choices we make bring about consequences that we have to deal with. Do I have a witness today? Because up until then, this young man was living today like there was no tomorrow. Up until then, he sowed to the wind and didn't realize he would have to reap a whirlwind. But when the famine hit, he learned that there are consequences for each of our choices. You see, my brothers and sisters, unrestrained, he indulged himself in every kind of sensual escapade. He lived extravagantly. He lived recklessly with no thought for the future. Oh, my, I'm finna get in trouble now. But one of my favorite places to eat every now and then is a place called Fiery Crab. Fiery Crab. There's one thing, if you've ever eaten that Fiery Crab, you will agree with me that it's kind of expensive. Amen. At least to me it is. If you get enough snow crab and king crab and all that stuff, it's kind of expensive. But what I've noticed, most times I go to Fiery Crab, I see young single mothers with 4 and 5 children, and I'm sitting there wondering, amen, how are they affording this? You know, now I get it, and kudos to the single mothers. God bless you. Amen. I get it, but just like for this young man in our text, we've got to realize that there is a tomorrow if you live. Amen. And so we've got to plan today and choose today like there is a tomorrow. Y'all don't want to talk back to me. But I need to tell you that this young man indulged himself in all kind of stuff. And sometimes when we walk away from God, he lets us walk away. He says, that's fine. Go on. Go for it. I'm going to let you reject my love so that one day you will realize how much you need my love. That's all right. Go ahead with your bad self. I'm going to let you reject my grace, and one day you'll recognize how much you need my grace. Go on, mess up your life, and then you will see that you need me in your life. Amen. Am I the only one who had to go and learn some things along life's way? Because the Bible lets us know, not specifically, but we can assume that this brother was all up in the club, he was toasted, and he thought to himself, this is the life I always wanted. But those choices had consequences when he depleted his assets and mismanaged his blessings. He became comfortable in a context that was beneath his calling. Oh, my, I know I just said something right there. I said when he depleted his assets, after he mismanaged his blessings, he became comfortable in a context that was beneath his calling. Can I tell you something this morning, Pleasant Hill? Don't ever get comfortable in a context that is beneath what God called you to be. Sometimes the devil will get you in a place, amen, and get you around people. That's why I thank God he taught me that it's all right for some people to leave you. It's all right for some people to walk away. Because what happens if you stay around those people long enough, you get comfortable in the context that they make you comfortable with. God sent me here this morning to preach to you and to tell you that you're too gifted to be living like you're living. You're too blessed to be doing what you're doing. You're too anointed to be that angry. You're too powerful to be that pitiful. You're too mighty to be that mean. And you ought to hear Vicky Winans this morning as she's telling you to shake yourself loose. Is there anybody in here who has ever had to shake yourself loose from that situation? Shake yourself loose from that dilemma. Give God praise in this place today. This fella hung out with people who weren't participating in his purpose. As long as the bill was on him, as long as he was paid, y'all know he was the man. But when famine hit, when he dipped into his pocket and realized that he didn't have enough to pay the bill, when his credit cards were maxed out, the bank account was in overdraft, when he had squandered his inheritance, the King James Version says, when he had spent all. Anybody ever been there? When he was bankrupt. Now watch this. He was bankrupt not just financially. He was bankrupt mentally. He was bankrupt emotionally. He was bankrupt spiritually. The Bible testifies that then he began to be in want. Somebody say, you don't miss a good thing until it's gone. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my. That's why I thank God for the relationship that I have with him. I've had a lot of friends to walk out on me. I've had, amen, family members who didn't want to be bothered with me. But I am so happy and I'm so glad that I had enough sense to know that I still need God. Amen. I'm so thankful that I had enough sense to know that I still need to get to the church house to worship him. Let everybody forsake me. Amen. Let everybody turn their backs on me. But one thing I will not do is turn my back on God. Am I by myself? He's been too good to me. He's been too kind to me. It was a famine. Now note that he did not start out in want. In his